Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast universe of lore behind the Mass Effect games. We'll talk about all the details you may have missed, ask the hard questions, and more. Commander Shepards, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. And this is a very early patron episode, so we're excited that you're here. We're excited that all of our patrons are here, and I'm excited that N7 Legend is here. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, feeling very jolly. My girlfriend and I just put up the decorations on our tree, and my first time getting a real tree by myself. I figured since I'm living in the Christmas tree capital of the country, probably a good time to do that.
So. There's a reason why it's called the country. That was a terrible joke. That was so bad. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, everybody. But anyway, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is the show where we talk about everything Mass Effect. And just a quick reminder, actually, big news, big update. I've changed stuff around with our streaming setup. Our live streams are now on Twitch and YouTube and Twitter. And Facebook, this is going out everywhere. I am no longer a Twitch affiliate. I know everyone's like, what? Why would you do that? It's because screw Twitch, because they don't let you restream everywhere. I want to restream everywhere. I've moved my primary stuff over to YouTube. So if you want to help support the streams, all of that stuff, watch on YouTube. And in order to incentivize that, I'm giving out points on YouTube because I'm giving away my Robots Radio hat. The official hat that I've been wearing for 3 years and other merchant things. There's a whole reason why I'm doing this. I'm trying to grow my YouTube streams, my YouTube channel, all of that stuff. So as a big end of the year thing, I will be giving away lots of points that you can use to buy tickets, to get giveaways and stuff like that. So if you are currently watching on Twitch, go over to the Robots Radio YouTube channel. There is a link in the chat that you can click on to go watch it over there. That is going to be the primary place to tune into all of these podcasts, all of my game streams and those kinds of things. It is so much more fun over on YouTube. I promise there's lots of cool things going on over there. And I'll be giving away even more things than just my hat. So go collect your points over there. There are no points on Twitch, only points on YouTube and lots of other fun stuff. So just wanted to get that out of the way at the beginning. I love you guys watching, but come over from Twitch to YouTube. It's better over here. No ads, friends. No ads on YouTube. You don't have to sit through the ad. Come on over. All right. So we're going to kick off this episode. What are we talking about today, N7?
So our patrons had a pretty heated vote, and it was pretty close. But ultimately, they decided to talk about retrospectively, how do we view Mass Effect? What brought us to Mass Effect in the first place? What did we learn along the way? And how do we view this series now? That's what we're talking about.
Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Well, we need to introduce all of our patrons because we've got a full house again this week. Let's just go through the list. Turbo Toboggan, you're back. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Fine.
Very cool. Very cool. And Lena's here. Lena, welcome.
Hey, y'all.
Hey. And Genesis is back.
I am here.
Genesis and Vervada.
Hello, everybody.
The two girls in the one ship, the dirty girls, the two girls, one ship. They're here.
Dirty girls.
Dirty girls. I don't know. Have you played that clip yet?
Yes.
Let me say, okay, good. Good.
Began the second one.
Yeah. Yes, I said this during the Cyberpunk Lorecast, or was it The Witcher? I forget when I said
it. Twice.
Yeah. Yeah. I say these things during my shows and I forget which show they happen in. But yeah, you guys are back. And then we've got Larry. Larry, welcome to the show.
Hello. Nice to meet everybody.
Welcome. Welcome. And then Michael, welcome to the show as well.
Evening.
And Anna or Anna? What should we call you?
It's Anna. Anna. I was Let's Not on the last stream.
Yeah. Well, it's easier for me to just read whatever name is on the thing.
Yeah, I forgot to change it when I came into Zoom.
Okay. Okay. Anna, welcome back. And Psych is here.
Hey.
Hey. And Pipe Man's back. Pipe Man, welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening. Well, everybody's back, or all of these people are back, and it's so nice to have a full house again. So where are we going to start off? Who would like to kick this off? Is there anybody who's just itching to share a story about things, how they got into it and how their impressions have changed? I know some of you guys have some very interesting stories, and let's do it this way. Who was the most recent person to discover the series? I know I learned about the series when it first came out. So let's go back. Who discovered it only in like the last year? Wow. Wow. Three of you, Genesis, Larry, Mike. Who discovered it? Legendary edition when that came out. Larry. Okay, so Larry's the newest.
That's awesome.
Wow. So tell us a little story, Larry. What piqued your interest? What got you into the series?
Well, my intro story isn't going to be all that interesting. I'm a teacher, and it came out towards the end of the school year, and I was looking for something to play over the summer because that's something that would be more than a 12 to 16 hour game.
No,
and I knew I'd
that.
Like BioWare games because I like Dragon Age. So I played all of them. So, and then I saw it. And so I bought it and then I loved it. Not really sure how I never played it in the past because I feel like I should have, but I didn't.
So it was just not on your radar? Were you playing games back in
somewhere way back in like 2005, 2006, I played a shooter type game and I didn't like it. And I decided I hated all shooter games. So I refused to give them a chance forever.
Wow.
And then I realized that was really, now in retrospect, that was really stupid. But I think that's the reason I just never played it.
Oh, interesting. So, okay. So from that perspective, how do you feel about the shooting?
By the time I got into Mass Effect, I'd already played other shooter games and realized, okay, I like them. So, but yeah, I like it. I like the mechanics of the game a lot. I like the mechanics of Andromeda a lot, even though some parts of the game drove me a little crazy, but the shooting mechanics are great. But yeah, I like them. I like the mechanics. It's great.
Even Mass Effect 1?
I got used to it. At first it was weird, but I got used to it. It might have driven me crazy if I'd have played it when it first came out, but Legendary was pretty cleaned up. I was okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is improved.
But, yeah, they streamlined Mass Effect 1 a lot. So I was hoping that someone that we got to talk to, Legendary Edition was their first experience, because that transition from Mass Effect 1 to 2 is still a little bit rough, but it's much more streamlined. Being able to use any weapon with any class, I think, is a big deal. Which class did you, your first playthrough of the series, which class did you go with?
I went soldier. I always want to have maximum hit points. I want to be the guy that just runs in and goes crazy. So I went soldier, and I go assault rifles. That's me. Soldier, assault rifle. That's it.
Wow. So from shooter cynic to soldier fanatic.
Exactly.
Yep. It's quite the turnaround.
It was. But again, I have no idea why I was stubborn for 10 years on shooter games, but no clue.
That's interesting.
So what kept you playing though? Because Mass Effect, you know, it's a pretty long game. So
I liked the gameplay. That was good. And I liked the characters, because immediately that's always going to get me to keep playing a game. If I grow attached to the characters and I want to stay in the world, I'm going to keep playing. And that happened quick with Mass Effect. And like, as soon as I finished it, I started it again because I wanted to stay in it. I think I didn't play until Legendary, and I'm on my sixth playthrough. So I've gotten quite a bit of play. And I know this is a room that likes the destroy ending, but I'm a synthesis ending guy, just because Edie's speech at the end of Synthesis is like, that's one of the great things in any game. Like, first time I played through it, and that speech, like, it made me teary out. I told my girlfriend, I was like, you've got to finish this game because this is the greatest trilogy of all time. That ending, you got to get to it.
There's definitely something to love, I think, about every one of the endings. And although there are many, many destroy stands out there, I think we would all be doing ourselves a disservice if we did not each play each of the endings at least once. So have you stuck with that ending every single playthrough?
I can't do the other endings. I've watched the other endings. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't kill Edie. I'm sorry. I cannot kill Edie, and I can't control Edie. I made her alive. I got to stay with it.
Yeah, sometimes that's just the way it is. Sometimes you just can't bring yourself to do a thing. I know some people can't even do a playthrough where they, you know, they do like the more evil playthrough or the more, you know, violent
Renegade
decision. Yeah, in Mass Effect, it would be the Renegade decision most of the time. But, you know, it depends on the game. You know, like often doing like the more violent decision or the more, you know, mean thing to do.
I mean, when I went through and played Knights of the Old Republic games as Darkseid, like I felt horrible the whole game because I had to kill people. I was just like, oh, I'm going to do it, but I hate myself for this. I can't do it in Mass Effect.
I think stats show something like 20% of people actually play through. It's something like 20 or 15% of people actually will play through like the more evil version of something, whereas like the vast majority will do like the good version of whatever a game is, and generally will stick to that. So let's switch over to Mike. Mike, you picked this up relatively recently too. When did you start playing?
Yeah, I think I actually, now that I'm thinking of it, started playing basically right after Last in 7 Day, when the teaser trailer for the next game came out. I think that was in 7 Day last year. It was around that time. But I feel like I just started seeing it pop up on the internet because, you know, a teaser trailer was dropped and people started talking about it. And I was like, oh yeah, Mass Effect, I've heard of that. I have some idea of what that is. And I was, believe it or not, in November and December of 2019, looking for stuff to do at home. And I just, before I actually got the game, I just been looking on YouTube for just like information about the series. And I started finding a bunch of lore videos specifically like about the races and kind of things like biotics and stuff like that. I've always been a lore junkie in pretty much everything I get into. I've heard lore described as story is the actual events that happen, whereas lore is all of the things that make the world seem real. And the more I looked at the lore, just watching a 5-minute YouTube video, the more compelling like the world seemed, and I just got too curious and had to dive in. And then that was pretty much my entire life for a couple of months.
Wow. So you jumped into the original version of Mass Effect 1?
Correct.
How was that experience? Because have you played that, and then did you get Legendary Edition when that came out and then replay it?
Yes, I did. And I am a little unique in that I'm not really a huge gamer at all. I'm not really a huge anything kind of person. I tend to get kind of like I was saying, I get very involved into certain fandoms randomly just because like I find the universe compelling or whatever. So I've never been like much of a shooter or any kind of gamer at all. And so I know people say that the game feels dated, but to me, I haven't really played video games since I was in high school that much anyway. So a 2007 computer or a 2007 Xbox game ported to PC still felt revolutionary to me. So, you know, the gameplay and everything didn't bother me. And I'm also such a sucker for story and lore that, like, if that's good enough, I basically don't care how clunky a game is.
Nice, nice. So did you notice the differences when switching to Legendary Edition? Did that kind of, like, what was your experience? Yes. Did it blow your mind, or were you just like, oh, this is nice?
It didn't seem that different playing-wise. I haven't actually finished my Mass Effect 1 playthrough on Legendary Edition yet. Mm-hmm. It's been a busy couple of months for me. But I mean, it certainly feels easier and feels a little more fluid. But like I said, I feel like in some ways I don't notice it a ton just because I wasn't bothered by the original version.
Yeah.
And so everything looks better and plays better. But I thought it was fine to begin with, so I'm not the best person to ask.
Right, right. So you're really pulled in by the characters, the story. It's like, the stuff that really grabs you. Like it's right. not the shiny stuff on the surface. It's the meaning and the depth underneath.
Right. And that's the reason I got so into it is just because I feel like there is so much of that in Mass Effect in a way that there isn't in a lot of other games. Like just looking at like planet descriptions and stuff like that. Every once in a while, I just think about the fact that somebody actually wrote a detailed description for every single planet, and like 70% of these planets have nothing. There's no reason to ever look at them, but somebody invented a world and like compelling story behind it.
Yeah.
And there's just kind of like a depth to everything in the game that I guess I am not used to seeing in other franchises. It feels like that lore, that level of detail. It's like something that you can just like keep zooming in and zooming in and zooming in, and you'll never get to a point where it's blurry. It's just like you keep zooming in when there's always more details to find.
Right, right. I remember discovering J.R.R. Tolkien as a kid. And my dad loved those books, right? And it was something that was something I found phenomenal about his writing was the amount of depth he would go into about like the details on the side of the road as they traveled. You know, he would describe like the flowers and the trees and the types of trees and the way the grass grew and the types of stones on the path. Like no other fantasy writer did that. You know, they were too busy with like, oh, they're going down the path and there's some trees and they go into the next town, right? But like he would talk about the minutiae that had no other reason to be there other than to paint a depth into the world. Like you're saying, you would zoom in and zoom in and zoom in, and he would get to the very fine bits of detail that would be the very same details that you would notice if you were right there in that moment, right? And that's exactly what you're talking about, is that like if you were Commander Shepard in that moment scanning that planet, that's what you would see. You would see that log with that level of detail, even if there's no reason to go to that freaking planet because there's nothing there anymore. You would still see that log with that level of detail. And the people who created this game created that level of detail. And that is phenomenal.
It kind of feels in a way as if they tried to actually create a world that you are actually in rather than a world that a story takes place in. Like I remember I listened to an interview with Patrick Weeks where they talked about like creating Morden, and they were talking about creating Morden. Morden was kind of like originally pitched as kind of like just a straight up bad guy who like thought genocide was great and didn't think anything about the Krogan. And then Patrick Leak said that they were like, well, that's not like that's kind of done already. That's very one dimensional. And it was much more interesting to try to write that character as like somebody that you could understand their point of view and understand why they did the things that they did. And so it's kind of like a lot of the characters in the story, and I feel like even the very general stuff about the races and everything, it feels like they're all being treated like actual people rather than characters in a story. Like, and everything about the game kind of has that feeling to it.
I think that's probably partially, at least partially due to the fact that this writing staff clearly has some great history buffs on it. They have modeled a large portion of the locations, the events, the people, after real people, places, and things from our own world. And I know that's partially how they created the galaxy, BioWare's own version of the galaxy anyway, because they threw in as many real life locations as they possibly could. So astronomy buffs out there, probably if they were familiar with Mass Effect, they were looking through the galaxy map and thinking, wow, these guys really did their homework. So you take that type of approach and you apply it to the writing of Mass Effect, and I think it provides us with enough depth, enough familiarity for things to feel real.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. Let's move on to Genesis. I know you also found this relatively recently. When did you discover the series?
I am a baby when it comes to the Mass Effect universe, because I didn't start playing until May of 2021.
Wow. So Legendary Edition?
No, actually, I started playing on the Xbox Game Pass version because it was free.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, free with a subscription, but yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, when your husband pays for your Xbox Pass, it's considered free.
You play your other games. I'm going to play this one. Thanks.
Oh, no, we have separate accounts.
Oh,
there's.
Okay. All right.
There are stories as to why we have two consoles, two PCs, two everything.
Wow. Okay.
When you accidentally save over their Oblivion save file.
Oh, God.
Oh.
There's too many hours. This is. The hero of Kvatch no longer existed. That's unfortunate. So, okay. So you started on that edition, and this is back in May. And what was your initial impression?
Oh, I actually wrote up a whole little story because I was like, my first impressions were just like, I'm playing a shooter game that I didn't want to play back in the day because I thought it was another Halo game. You know, I watched him play it and I was like, all right, so you're running around shooting stuff. Right. I watched you play Halo and I'm not going to do it again. So I ended up playing The Witcher and he played Mass Effect.
Another good choice. Yeah.
Mander Shepard's a pretty cool guy. He bangs aliens and he doesn't afraid of anything.
Yeah, but he didn't have two swords on his back, and I thought that was way better.
And he didn't talk like this.
Exactly.
Exactly.
No onion references either.
It's onion. Yeah.
So, this year I had played Final Fantasy X, then X-2, then 12.
Classics.
Then I played another round of Skyrim, and I was 11. Like, huh?
He skipped 11. 11 was like a MMO.
Yeah, it was online stuff.
Yeah, and you're not going to do 11. I'm kidding. I'm just pulling your leg. But go ahead.
And then I was like, okay, I need another open world RPG that I could stream on Twitch. Mm-hmm. And so I started researching and I found Dragon Age Origins and Mass Effect. But I went with Mass Effect because I had just come off of a Sword and Shield game and wanted to shoot somebody with a blaster rather than go back.
Okay.
Yeah. Little did I know what I was getting into. I started playing on the Xbox version and then I was done. I did my three playthroughs, my first initial reaction, my secondary FemShep where I was like, now I'm going to get everything perfect. And then I went a third playthrough with the BroShep to figure out what the differences were. Mm-hmm. And then I was done. And I started playing Dragon Age Origins. And then for our 18-year anniversary, my husband bought me Legendary Edition. And then I got sucked right back in.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
It'll pull you in. It'll pull you in like a black hole.
Yeah, super massive black hole.
Is that a Muse reference?
So
super massive black hole.
Reaper horn.
We're all dancing.
Yep.
So then I started looking for more content after I had finished one playthrough, and I found the Mass Effect Lorecast in late September. Got on the Discord, joined the Patreon, so that way I could be part of the trivia night the next week. I met Vervada, and then 2 weeks later, we started planning our own podcast.
Mm-hmm. And then you divorced your husband and you got married. wait a minute.
No, I mean, that's Tom, that happened in a DM. We're not supposed to talk about on live stream.
I'm sorry.
2 months later, we text almost every day, and I have met so many other amazing people in the community. And this is where my gushy little love note starts. Tom has become an amazing mentor. Sam is a great drinking buddy. Lena is totally Team Jen. And Toasty is now a beastie. Sav makes me laugh with every comment and impression. And Cloudy is my favorite Quarian. And let's not forget the third to the late night tearjerker club. I seriously could go on and on with all the amazing people that I have met. Psych and Apollo, the Cups and Pipe Man. I love you all.
Aww. Well, that was fun. It was a fun little retrospective. That's awesome.
I'm flattered.
Yeah, thank you very much. How nice. How nice.
So Mass Effect brought me to people, not just another Halo game.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, and it's fun that you included other games as well. That's it's also fun to talk. I mean, obviously we all like Mass Effect here, but it's also fun to, you know, share multiple interests with the community, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's enjoyable as well. Very cool stuff. Well, in the interest of time, we got to keep moving on. So who is next youngest in your fandom of Mass Effect? Who's discovered it in the next, I don't know, last 2 or 3 years? Anybody else? Or are most of you guys like old fans? 2 or 3 years? 4 years? Who maybe started with Andromeda? Everyone's like, nope, not Andromeda. All right. 5 years? 2016, 2015, 2013.
Did anyone start with Mass Effect 3?
Yeah, Mass Effect 3. Mass Effect 2. 2 was a big one. Lena 2. Turbo Toboggan 2. All right, Lena, let's start with you. You discovered it in 2, but not 1.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure I stole it off my brother's desk. Someday, like, it was just chilling there, and I was, I don't know what I was doing in his room, but I think I stole it, and I was like, that's a pretty cool cover, like a cool guy. Miranda was on there, and I think I have it somewhere here, but I don't know where it is, and I think I've played through it, and I thought it was just a cool game, and ever since then, I mean, it was 2012 or 2013. Oh my God, that's almost 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Ever since then, I've replayed it like every year. And I have this with a lot of stuff that I'm into, that I watch stuff or I play stuff. And every time I play it or I see it, there's a new layer in there. And I love that so much about the trilogy. That, like, there are so many symbols, metaphors, the story, the characters. And that's what, like, it's a huge part of my life because I get a new thing every time I play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that with some of the best fiction, whether it's books or movies or games, they tend to only get better with time, with rewatching, with replaying. They're like an onion. There's these layers, right? And you can peel them back and you go, I didn't realize this. There's like this depth to it. And that's not something that you can claim for most things. It's almost like food, not like just an onion, but like well-prepared food has complexity and flavor. You know, like a McDonald's burger tastes like a freaking McDonald's burger. A Diet Coke tastes like a Diet Coke. There's no complexity in the flavor, right? it is always going to taste like a Diet Coke, and it's always just going to, that's the one flavor you get out of it. There's no complexity in the flavor. But a really well-prepared meal has like nuance and complexity, and the same with a game that is really well done. And I think that's a really solid point, is that you can keep going back and you can find more every time.
Yeah, I just finished my playthrough of Legendary Edition. Like my first playthrough of Legendary Edition, I don't know what number playthrough it is total of the series, but I just finished it, and I discovered, like, time after time, I found new stuff that I had never seen before. And a few of those things were due to the fact that my most recent playthrough, I was completely celibate in Mass Effect 3. I mean, like, there was a kiss scene with Jack at the beginning, but there was no ultimate romance, so to speak. So my shepherd woke up alone on the way to the final mission, and it was the most depressing thing in the world. But nevertheless, I can't think of another game that I'm still playing 14 years, you know, after the fact, after the first one, 9 years after the third one, right? And I'm still, not only am I still playing it, not only am I on my sixth, seventh, eighth, I don't know what number playthrough, but I'm also finding new things. I mean, I thought Inception was a deep movie, and I've seen it like 5 times now, and I noticed something new about it every time. But that movie is like 2.5-3 hours long. Each one of these games takes like 40 to 60 hours for one playthrough, if you're doing it complete. So, you know, I'm still finding new stuff hundreds, thousands of hours later.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else you want to add, Lena?
I mean, maybe like last words, it just gives me so much comfort because like, I know what's going to happen, but there are new layers, and I don't know. It always feels like coming home, which is why I play it maybe like once a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people have that game or that novel or that movie, and then sometimes they watch it during a certain time of year, you know, that kind of thing. Yep. Yeah. Turbo Toboggan, you started with 2 also.
I think it's 2. Whichever one was the multiple discs.
What platform were you on?
I think it was PlayStation 2, I want to say.
I think I played on Xbox. No, I played on PC, so I don't remember if it was disc or
because it wasn't
digital.
Me playing it, but I picked it up. I picked because my I got into it on Mass Effect 2 because my brother was playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down at his, because my dad and my mom separated, but I was at my stepbrother's house, and he was on his PlayStation, he was playing, and I just saw him making all these, it was like, because I didn't really like RPGs.
Right.
And stuff. And I know, and I just saw him making his own character, and making these choices, and I love sci-fi, so when I saw that, I'm like, this is so amazing. I mean, he let me play a little bit. And that's just got me started. So I went back and played 1, played through 2. And it's what made me actually like start playing video games and stuff. Cause I went and got 1 and just started playing.
Oh, that's cool. So you were like, okay, sci-fi, you can create a character. You can decide, you can make all these decisions.
You get to make, yeah, you get to make all the characters. Cause I playing it video back then when I was like, I didn't like playing video games. Cause I like, I don't get to be my own character. I got to be who they pick.
Yeah.
And it's just set and shown that all it's just gonna be the same as everyone else's game. And then I saw Mass Effect, and I'm like, I can make my own character. This could be telling me if I was in that world and I was actually a badass.
Right, right.
So
a little kid.
Yeah.
So I know the character creation was like a really big lure for probably all of us. But how? Let's be honest here, Turbo Toboggan. Were you aware that you could bang aliens in this game before you started?
No.
Was that a plus?
Yeah, did you like
it? It is a plus. Once I figured that out, because I was at that age, I'm like, oh my god, I can have a girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
But when I first played, I just thought, I can be my own badass in space. I'm like, I can be Han Solo in space.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I was a little kid, I was like, yes. And then I found out when I bought Mass, I'm like, wait, I can be a girl. I can be a hot girl. Or I can bang the sexy guys got, with psychic powers. Like, yeah.
Awesome.
Yes, bring on the raptor chicken boyfriend.
Well, no, it was Caden, because I didn't get to choose the boyfriend in two, but when I got to, as soon as I got to two, I'm like, yes, Garrus.
Yeah, romance options were severely limited in one. And then I think after hearing a raucous uproar from the fans, BioWare was like, screw it, we'll expand them.
And that's how we got Thane, the sexy amphibian.
That's who I ended up with first, yeah. That's awesome, dude. So, how old were you?
I want to say maybe 7.
Wow.
I was young. Like, I was... maybe 8. Like, I was young.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, man. So, did you play through them again regularly, or did you like? When was the next time you played?
I try to make it every year around N7 Day. I like to go back and play them all again. Mm-hmm. I never really got to play Mass Effect 1 a lot until they came out with that 3-pack on PlayStation. I didn't really get to play it. Otherwise, I had to go get a friend's Xbox and play it on theirs. Because I got the copy of Mass Effect 1 I had was for Xbox 360. But ever since that 3-pack came out, I made sure to play at least once every year.
Wow. So how did your impression of things evolve as you got older?
I realized that as I got older, like, I realized, like, I played that... The first time I played through, I didn't when I was younger, but when I got teenage, I realized I'm playing this because I like the dating, like, afterwards. That I realized that became a more important part, like, because I was a nerdy kid with no girlfriend at the time, and then eventually it became, like, I just loved being able to role play. Because I can either be a complete another dick or be the hope of the universe, sure. Or I could be me. It was sometimes whenever I was like having bored or didn't have something to do, like, it helped me not go out of my mind.
Yeah,
so you could always pull Mass Effect on and it get my attention. It'd make me happy because I could that. Mm-hmm. And so
did you start to pick up on, like, more of the complex stuff, the storyline stuff, the political side of things, the...
That didn't happen until probably Mass Effect 3.
Mm-hmm.
When it first came out, I don't know when that was. I don't remember how old I was when that happened. But when Mass Effect 3 came out and stuff, I started going back and playing through it. I started realizing what was happening in 2 and then 3 and stuff.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But that didn't happen until probably Mass Effect 3 came out with all its DLC and stuff. So whenever that happened, I don't know what year that was.
What was that? 20?
Mass Effect 3 came out 13? In March of 2012.
12.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's around that time.
Okay. Man, that's cool. That's cool. All right. Anything else you want to add about that?
I actually like Mass Effect Andromeda. I loved it.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. What made that so enjoyable for you?
I like the new start. Like, it was a whole new character, so it's like, I don't know anything. That's, well, okay, you know some of the background because it's still set in the Mass Effect universe,
mm-hmm.
but it took Mass Effect 3 and just technically threw it out the window. It's like Mass Effect 3 hadn't even happened yet, so it's like, doesn't matter what choice you made in 3, this is technically a whole new universe with whole new characters. Mm-hmm. It's like, it was kind of a soft reset to me. So I was like, I was in the mood for that because I played Mass Effect every single year, and by the time Mass Effect Drama came out, it was, sad to say, kind of getting repetitive. I know I hadn't seen everything yet, but I had the certain way I liked to play it.
Oh, sure.
And I'd seen everything in that.
Yeah.
So.
That makes sense. I mean, you play something over and over again. It's time for something new. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what Mass Effect Legendary Edition did that made it seem new again. I know it's technically practically the same story-wise, mm-hmm. but, It just hit it. So it's like, I can play it again. And I've actually played it probably at least 2 times for each character. I'm about to do probably my 6th playthrough. And then I'm about to hit Mass Effect 3 and stuff. Cause I had 3 characters on Mass Effect 1. So that's 2 play. That's then, Mass Effect. Well, maybe not I have six playthroughs right now for Mass Effect 1, and I'm on my sixth one for Mass Effect 2, and then I'm heading to 3.
Wow. Wow.
And I'm still not bored with it, even though I've done it that many times. So I'm just playing it with two different characters, and I'm playing it different ways. Like a good shepherd, then I'm playing female shepherd, then I'm playing a dick shepherd.
Nice.
A dick male shepherd, just going like, I just want to see all the bad things, because I usually don't pick those.
Yeah.
I usually pick like mostly good, some bad in there, but I've never done a full Renegade playthrough, so I'm doing that.
Yeah, Mark Mears.
There are some brutal moments.
Yeah, and his voice is perfect for it too, because he sounds like such a dick when he's delivering those really, those lines.
Oh yeah,
being so mean. Yeah, he does it really well. Well, that's awesome, dude. All right, well, we need to take a quick break. Thank our patrons, you guys, and the rest of our patrons, and we'll be back with the rest of you to talk about your retrospective. So stay tuned.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this station is mine. I like the sound of that.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show to thank our patrons, all of you guys, and all of our other patrons, all 46 of you now. Holy moly, 46 patrons. You guys are amazing. And we're going to welcome two of our new patrons, Eric K. and Jason B. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for your support. You guys are awesome. And also, we need to call out our Commander Shepherds, Pipe Man and Sovereign. Thank you. There's Pipe Man right there. And Sovereign, who I guess couldn't make it with this week, but thank you, Sovereign. And if we've done anything to help you get through your work days, your workouts, your drives to work, or your fixing your pipes because they burst because of the cold weather, because that's a real problem, or in Florida, because somebody drove over your sprinklers because it doesn't snow here and you still have to water your lawn. And then you call your HOA and you say, hey, these sprinklers on the other side of the sidewalk, I think this is your problem. And while you do that, you listen to podcasts. Then you should go to patreon.com/MassEffectLoreCast and check all the different tiers. And maybe you'll want to just sign up for one of them and get no ads, or maybe join us on a future episode of the show, or get t-shirts. Have you guys been getting t-shirts yet? Have you seen some nods? Oh my gosh.
I believe Psych is wearing his.
Oh, Psych is on. Look at this. Look at this, Pipe Man. You got yours underneath your button down shirt. You were kind of doing this thing.
I don't want it to get too suggestive, but I am wearing it.
What? Oh, Turbo's hurting. Oh man. I'm so jealous. You guys get all the cool stuff. This is awesome. So this is super fun. So thank you to all of you guys. You guys are the best. And, You have anything else you want to say, N7, while everybody's here?
Well, yeah, like I say, like every week, every month, I really severely appreciate all of the support that we get. And it's still immensely humbling to me because, you know, Tom, we started this like 9 months ago. And, you know, no pun intended, because of the support that this amazing community has shown us, we have seen a meteoric rise in popularity. Like not many podcasts become as prominent, I guess. But it's because of the support, because of the word of mouth, because of the, you know, like the ratings and the, you know, just being there when it counts, I think, that this community has shown us. And how fitting, right? Because the entire point of the Mass Effect trilogy is teamwork, you know, stand strong, stand together. So, yeah, I find that equally as cheesy and as powerful. And I love our community. And yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts on the matter.
Yeah, thank you to all of you guys. Really, genuinely, you guys are awesome. Thank you for being part of this community, for supporting the show. We really do appreciate it. You are what helps us to do this all the time, to make it a side thing for N7, to make it part of my full-time career as a podcaster and somebody running a podcast network. Genuinely, we really do appreciate it. And also, we do have a new review. This one comes from Omen Gaming in the US, who writes, "Fantastic 5 stars. I am a longtime Mass Effect fan. I found you guys a couple of days ago, and I binged the entire series to get up to date. I love the two-sided conversations from you guys because I feel like I am both of you together. Whenever I read through the lore and the codex entries, I would always tie the knowledge back to real-world history. It amazes me that BioWare was able to get so in-depth with these races that sometimes you forget this is science fiction. I'm going to start working through the books, and I am on my 5th playthrough of Legendary Edition." Wow, 5-3 playthroughs already. "This time I will be a female Shepherd because in a previous episode, Sam convinced me that her dialogue was awesome and different. I am glad I found others who enjoy this game and lore as much as I do. Sorry for this being so long. Thank you guys. Keep being awesome. P.S. An episode on Forgotten Races should be a good topic, or maybe one on the Yogg." Well, the Yogg were part of a co-episode we did, but Forgotten Races.
Also a metal band.
Also part of a metal band. But thank you so much, Omen Gaming, for the 5-star review. We really do appreciate that. And this is a quick reminder. There's been an update to Spotify, which allows you guys to do 5-star reviews there as well. So double check either on your mobile app or on the PC app. I can see it on my mobile app now. They're slowly rolling this out. So if you are somebody who listens on Spotify, or somebody who's kind enough to just look up the show on Spotify, if you scroll to the top where you can see the name of the show, and then you look down below where it lists the info for the show to where it shows like categories on the left side, there is a section where you can rate the show with stars. So if you want to give us a 5-star rating on there, that would be super, super helpful. So you can do that there as well. And if you do leave a review on Apple Podcasts with some words, we'll read it out. 5-star review with words, we'll read it out on a future episode. So thank you again to everybody and to all of our patrons. We got to go talk to the rest of our patrons, though. So here we go.
Spit it out. Or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, so here we are. So, okay, we've caught up. I think everyone else who's left started with Mass Effect 1 when this came out. This is 2007. We're going back in time, 14 years. 14 years in the past. Who would like to start? Who picked it up, like, right on release? Who was there day one? Anybody? Nobody was there day one. Who picked it up like after, like years later? Who has an interest? Let's just go with this. Who has an interesting story? Who has something like, oh, this is a crazy story? Anna, what's your interesting story about picking up Mass Effect 1?
Okay, so technically I did pick it up in 2014, but okay. I don't know if you saw me raise my hand.
Oh, I didn't catch it. There's too many people on the screen. Okay, so 2014. Okay. Okay, let's go with that. Okay, 2014.
I had, my brother owned our PlayStation 3 for like the entirety of as long as I can remember. And it wasn't until he got the PlayStation 4 for Christmas, then I got the PlayStation 3 handed down to me, and I didn't play anything. Like, I think the most I had played was like Little Big Planet, maybe.
Little and, sack people running around. Yeah.
And so it was like, I don't know. I was just like scrolling through and I found not Mass Effect. I found Infamous, PlayStation game, you know, like the lightning powers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was the first time I'd ever seen like a morality system in a video game. And so I played through it. I played through one and two, fell in love with it. It was great. I played it a couple of times, but then like after my original couple playthroughs, I didn't have anything else. I just had a PlayStation with two games on it. So I was like, I don't know. I was big into Watch Mojo at the time, that YouTube channel just does top 10 lists. And I was looking through like story games or stuff with morality systems and games or whatever. Right. And Mass Effect was always number one every single time. For even on the, like the best video games ever, it was Mass Effect, Mass Effect, Mass Effect. I was like, yeah, I like space. Oh, pick this up.
All right, space is cool. Got it.
So I sold every single game that my brother owned for the PlayStation 3 because I didn't have a job. I was either a freshman or a sophomore in high school. I didn't have a job. I had no access to money. So all I could do was just sell our games at GameStop and get like 45 cents.
Right. Here you go, GameStop. Here's like, I can imagine you bring like a stack of games in. They're like, all right, we'll give you like 20 bucks.
I was going through like our old PlayStation 1 games. It was like anything I could get. But I had like just enough to pick up the trilogy pack.
Yeah.
Because one did not exist on the PlayStation 3 without it. And so I played through it, didn't pay attention to it at all. I can't like remember anything specific from my original playthrough other than like I romanced Caden, Thane, and then Caden again. And I realized at the end of it, I was like, I didn't pay attention to this at all. Let me run it back. Let me try it again.
You just basically played it as like a dating sim?
Yeah. It was like
a space dating sim.
So I beat three, immediately went back, started at one again. And it was on my second playthrough that I realized like, oh, this is something that I've not seen before. Mm. So yeah, that's how I got into the series.
That's cool. That's cool. That's nice. So man, I'd love to have like go back in time and see like a picture of like all the games you sold. Like what was in that stack?
It was like every single NBA or NFL game that came out from PlayStation 1 to the 3 got like maybe a dollar for all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was like kids' first introduction to like pawn shops, basically.
Yeah, right.
It was basically that. Like, you bring in all of like they're in video game form, but you bring in like all of your life savings. And they're like, best I can do is $2.
Yeah.
Which is why I didn't really understand when people were all bent out of shape when GameStop was failing. I was like, don't you guys remember when they fucked us? But, you know.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. So, okay. So when did you, like, that second playthrough, you, like, fell in love with the game? Is that, like, when it really, like, I don't know, sunk its teeth in, like, space vampire teeth into you? Like...
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, whenever I play something, or like reading books, I was talking to Genesis about this earlier today, but like whenever I ingest new media, the first is just like figure out what's going on in the world, try to pay attention, not really latch on to anything. But then when I go back to it, it's like I know what's going on and so I know what to look out for. And so that's when like I really start to get into something. And then it was just like all of the information, all the lore and stuff. I don't know why I'm just like a sponge for when it comes to stuff like that. I could talk for hours to people who've never even heard about it, just like explaining this and this. But it was a lot to get into.
I totally get that because I feel like especially with games that are so deep, you need kind of an introductory period in order to get a sense of like, what is even the landscape like? before you can get deeper with it sometimes. So, for example, when I discovered the Elder Scrolls, this was back in 2007 when Oblivion came out. I'd never played an Elder Scrolls game before. And the Elder Scrolls, like the lore of the Elder Scrolls is super deep, just like Mass Effect. There's a ton of crap in those games. I had no idea about anything in those games at all. And the first 50 hours I played in that game, just wandering around, not knowing anything about anything that was going on at all. And it took me that character just like fumbling around in the world to finally like get to a point where I was like, okay, I think I get it. And then I had to restart a new character and then play through. And then that's when everything clicked. And it's kind of like playing through Mass Effect, you know, like doing like a 50 hour playthrough and then starting a new character and playing through it again. And then going, oh, that's who these guys are. That's who these aliens are. Okay, that's what the Citadel is. Oh, that's what. Okay, that's why the, you know, this race is so interesting. This is what that's why the bad guys are so bad. That's what. Oh, I get it. That's why. Oh, the council is really worried about this thing. I get it. You know, like that's when everything starts to click. And it's just, there's just so much depth that sometimes it just takes that to get there.
They need to give you a slower speed intro to let you absorb a lot of it. And I found that my retrospective, opinion on the series was at first, when I first started playing the game, I played it very gamey because I wasn't really interested in being sincere. I was just interested in learning the lore. Like, I played it very gamey. I just wanted the best possible outcome. So, naturally, I picked all Paragon things, right? And then as I got older, as I've, like, played the series to death, I've been much more interested in, like, okay, well, what if I'm, like, kind of a good guy, but also I have my fatal character flaws? You know what I mean? And getting into really interesting combinations like that of choices, of outcomes, and it's been still rewarding for me. And it's interesting you bring up, you know, Elder Scrolls with this deep lore, and Elder Scrolls did a good job of letting you wander around and absorbing it at your own pace. But I wanted to draw a comparison because I think Mass Effect 1 does a good job of that too, because Mass Effect 1 is so slow. But you know what game doesn't? You know what game just kind of throws you in the middle and you have to learn it? Because at the beginning, if you don't know the background, you're like lost. And that's Cyberpunk.
I had no
experience with Cyberpunk tabletop, no experience with Cyberpunk like at all, beyond the aesthetic and like Cyberpunk like shows. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when I first started playing Cyberpunk 2077, it was just like I was thrown in. And I was like, what the hell are they talking about? Like, left and right, there were so many references that were dropped where I was like, I don't know what's going on. But I still put in the effort, and I'm like 50 hours in, and it's still incredibly rewarding now. And I know it's going to be even better on a second playthrough round.
Or if you listen to Cyberpunk Lorecast and we explain all the different factions and the world. And
how, you know, I'm actually going through the episodes right now. Yeah.
That helps you too. But it's also to your point, I think that's part of why I enjoyed Mass Effect 2 more than Mass Effect 1, is because Mass Effect 1, it took me that playthrough of 1 to kind of get introduced to the world. And then by 2 was when everything started to click more. Right? Like, okay, this is the Citadel. These are the different groups. This is why everything's going on. So, yeah, I think that's a really cool perspective because it does take that time to kind of get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that gave it the most staying power for me, that made it like such a constant in my life, and it's like purely due to character creator. It's the fact that my shepherd, every single of my shepherds is a Black woman, and you don't get to see, like, just in media in general. Stop it. Sorry, my cat is messing with my light.
Uh-huh.
In media, just in general, you don't get to see Black women in such like a nuanced role as Commander Shepard can be.
Right. Right.
And it's like even just the small fact of Shepard becoming humanity's the first specter of humanity, like that role going to a Black woman over like even just like a white woman, like it's a completely different, it means much more to me than maybe to other people who, just cause you don't get to see that. And she gets to be so like, I don't know. She's like a huge badass. She's like the humanity's brightest. It's just, and she's still like a flawed individual. And I love in 3 that you actually get to see, Shepherd in a more like, what's the word I'm looking for? More vulnerable. Like you get more moments of like Shepherd with the weight of the galaxy on their shoulders.
Yeah.
And you can see how you see Commander Shepherd, the human specter, but then in 3, you actually get to see like Commander Shepherd, the person. And it's just something that I have to keep going back to see like every year. Cause there's nothing else like it out there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love as a very, you know, white male cis, you know, I don't get to see the world through the eyes of somebody who is a minority. And as somebody with my perspective, I love to be able to see representation in film and games through perspectives that I don't have, because it broadens my view of the world. And I love to hear stories like that. I love that we are getting more of that in film and games and things like that. You know, we get more lead characters from minorities and women and it kind of gives me chills because like we you're right, we don't have enough of that. And I love that representation like that is more common. I love that children can be inspired to be things that they never thought they could be because we're getting more representation like that in our stories and in our leaders and things like that. I that's hugely important. And being able to put yourself in that kind of role is amazing.
Not just the fact that it's video games, and let's be honest, for the past 30 years, the vast majority of that history, video games have been almost completely dominated by males, right? Yeah. Male characters, male driven, everything like that. And yet, not only is Mass Effect a video game, but it's also part of the sci-fi genre, which is historically very male focused and male driven. So it was nice that BioWare was one of the companies really pushing the envelope for progress there in egalitarian representation, and having female or feminine rather protagonists.
Yeah, so I love that. That's awesome. That is really, really cool. Thank you for bringing that perspective onto the show. That's awesome.
If you guys, if anyone out there hasn't played as FemShep, please start a playthrough as FemShep because it's life changing. Jennifer Hale is number one in my eyes. I had to say it once a time I'm talking with you guys, but please play FemShep. She's great.
I second that. Yeah. I second that. Yeah. Jennifer Hale does an amazing job.
Yes, she's wonderful. All right, who hasn't gone yet and would like to go? All right, Vervada? What's your story?
My story begins in 2007. I was, how old was I? 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. And I picked up Mass Effect because I've always been a gamer my whole life. My dad is the reason that I love playing video games. And I remember playing, one of the first games I ever played was Warcraft 2 on PC, like an ancient PC. And just, I remember one of the reasons I was drawn to Mass Effect is for the exact same reason that Anna was talking about, was because I found out you could play as a woman. And I was like, yes. Previous to that game, I think the only one I had played where I could choose to be a woman was Harvest Moon. I could be a woman farmer.
Yeah.
And that's the only one I can think of. And so when I first picked it up, Mass Effect 1, I was much more, and I still am much more into high fantasy. So Mass Effect at that time didn't drag me in. Then I played Dragon Age Origins when it came out in 2009. And I graduated high school that same year. And I started working at Target. And I met one of my best friends still to this day over our mutual love of Dragon Age. And she was like, have you played Mass Effect? And I was like, yeah, I didn't really finish it though. And not long after that, Mass Effect 2 came out. And she's like, you have to play it again. This second game just came out, and that's when I really got into it. And I got into it so much because exactly what Mike was talking about way earlier in the episode. I am all about story. I will overlook game mechanic flaws. I will overlook graphics issues if the story's there. And BioWare knows how to write a story for sure. So I immediately fell in love. I played as what I would think the best version of myself would be. And I, especially back then at that time, was such a doormat, very timid, very shy. And my Commander Shepard was not that at all. And I would have loved to be her, you know? So I joined the Navy because of Commander Shepard partly. I mean, my cousin was in the Navy and there were other reasons, but part of it was because I was like, I want to be just like her. I want to be tough. I want to be capable. I want to be compassionate and I want to be strong. And I love that BioWare made it so that FemShep is the same as BroShep. They're both just as evil or just as Paragon or just as bitchy or just as whatever. They're the same. It's amazing that they did that, especially back then. That was unheard of. And, you know, fast forward to this today. I mean, I played Mass Effect 3 when it came out in 2012. I played Andromeda. It didn't feel quite the same to me as the original trilogy. I did enjoy it, but it didn't have the same lure that the original trilogy did. And when Legendary Edition came out this year, I had a surgery and I was pretty much bedridden. So I played it the entire trilogy in like a week and a half, just straight, because I couldn't do anything else. I just was laying around all day. And it felt like coming home. I was like, this, it's like I reached through time back to my childhood when I played it the first time. And it was just as fun and just as awesome. And there was plenty of stuff I saw in it that I didn't get out of it the first time I played, because I was so young when I first played it. Now I'm 30 and I have a daughter. So it felt much more impactful, especially in the third game when like the whole world was ending and you're hearing about Garrus and his sister and his dad barely escaping off of Palavin, and you're seeing the child die in the very beginning and the end comes. And I did choose Destroy and you have the end scenes playing and I'm just like bawling my eyes out because it's still amazing. So, I mean, any story that can get to me like that, first of all, if I played that game on mute, I might not cry, but the music really, really gets me every time. So it's just awesome. It's the best.
That's awesome.
That's my story.
That's a great story. That's great. Yeah. It's always nice to feel like you're coming home, you know?
Yeah. It's like a cozy blanket at this point, you know, it's familiar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I had just commented on it on the last portion of my playthrough that I streamed. But I think that part of the reason why so many of us find it so easy to go right from Mass Effect 3 right back into Mass Effect 1 for another playthrough is because Mass Effect 3 has that sense of dire urgency that you said. And yet Mass Effect 1 is this whimsical, like, the world is your oyster, except it's the galaxy is your oyster. And, you know, there's this entire possibility of exploration and limitless, you know, possibilities, yada, yada, yada. There's a certain exuberance to Mass Effect 1. And you, like, you know, by the time you get to Mass Effect 3, it's like Shepard has aged too. Even though the amount of years between those in the series wasn't that much at all. And Shepard spent most of it dead. but yet they do such a good job in the story arc that is the way that the story arc should feel. That, you know, you go from exuberance and then it gets, you know, more intense as the conflict heightens. And then there's the denouement. But with Mass Effect, the denouement was just short enough to want to propel people back into Mass Effect 1. So, yeah, I think that dynamic and that cycle probably facilitates the multiple playthrough aspect.
I think it also helps, like I said earlier, I'm a huge Dragon Age fan because I love high fantasy, but it was such a shock to go from Dragon Age Origins, which is a voiceless character, to then you have Shepard. You play as a different person in each Dragon Age game. That's kind of true for most games. You don't play as the same person. But with Mass Effect, you're Shepard in 1, 2, and 3, and it feels like you're best friends with them at the end. Like you're walking perfectly in step with them the whole way. You've built this relationship with your character and with the other characters. They feel like we've all said already that they feel like real people. So it's kind of like for me, Harry Potter is the same way, because I was that perfect age where it came out and I was growing up with them, and you had 7 books to get to know them. It's like the same thing with Mass Effect, except it's more because you're a part of the story. You're directly affecting the story. So it's really, really impactful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. That's a really cool perspective. Well, thanks for sharing. That's awesome. That's awesome stuff. All right. Who's left to go? We've got Pipe Man. Pipe Man's left. Anybody else? Did everyone else go? Pipe Man and Psych. Pipe Man, do you want to go first?
Sure. So I guess my story is a little on the depressing side, but it gets better. I promise. So, very brief background. I haven't always been a gamer. I had like my best friend who was the gamer of the two of us, and I would always sit and just watch until his mom yelled and said, "You have to share the controller." I always enjoyed watching. I sort of learned how to be a gamer vicariously through him. We've been friends now for 32 years. Wow. And we still game every like once a week if we can. So in 2008, I discharged from the Marine Corps. Shout out Bravada. Thank you for chauffeuring us. and this was just after Mass Effect had come out. I'd watched my friend play it. So that's kind of a cool game. And I just did a playthrough, enjoyed it. Wasn't quite the completionist that I am now, but, fast forward a year, I received the news that my battle buddy,
Battle Turtle Buddy?
Not quite. But the guy, like my best friend that I served alongside, had died. Aww. I was a wreck. And I found myself just literally searching for some sort of catharsis or some sort of community. And I just on a whim, I restarted the Mass Effect series. And I think I've mentioned this to, N7, it is the game that pulled me back through the Omega 4 relay. I still play it. I try to play it once a year. The biggest attachment for me, I think, is the crew. It's such a diverse group of people, if you will, who all have these really interesting backgrounds. They all have their own problems. They all have their own quirks. You get to help them through their own troubles, difficulties. Even if they're just loyalty missions, it really is kind of neat to be there for somebody. I was not there for my buddy. We were on two different sides of the world, but it's really been a really comforting sort of community to come back to and know that, you can be there for them. And it's kind of interesting the way that, your squad mates can die if you don't take care of them. So I've sort of found that in every playthrough, I will go so far out of my way to try to keep everybody alive and happy. That is probably the biggest reason that I come back to the series every year and a half.
Wow.
So
wow. Yeah, so it's a very personal thing for you.
Yeah, it is. And I've actually, I think Genesis, you said you were, you had done some writing, of some sort, like your kind of like reaction to it. I'm actually in the process of writing an article, on using video games to help, combat vets with PTSD.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really, really interesting sort of rabbit hole where, you know, it's not just first person shooters. It's all sorts of games. It's because it's structure, it's community, it's purpose. So if I ever get off my butt and finish that, I'll post it. I don't know what I'm doing with it, but it's just been sort of a neat way to kind of get my ideas out.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, good luck with that. That sounds like an awesome project. I mean, there's a lot of things like that that can help people. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who would really appreciate the help. So
yeah,
that's really cool.
And you know, I myself, I had spoken with Pipeman about that. I think it's a wonderful idea. And I think that there's certainly a sizable portion of the Mass Effect community is either currently a service member or service member related or service member adjacent or former service member. There's a large portion of the Mass Effect community that has that tie to the military, which is interesting. So I think that article would be greeted with open arms.
Yeah.
Thanks. And I did promise that the story would get better. I've used sort of my interaction with Mass Effect, my experience, to sort of connect with other people. So, all of you people, absolutely 100%. It's midnight here and I'm like, I'm not going to bed yet, 'cause my people are here. But, as a joke, my girlfriend, you know, said, "Hey, like, when are we getting married?" And I said, "Well,
oh boy,
you have to play through Mass Effect first, because if you're gonna know me, like..."
2 minutes later, she's like, "All right, I'm building my character."
So she's just started her second playthrough.
Mass Effect speed run.
Wow.
And we're getting married next June, so
that's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. There's going to be some I think we're going to try to work in some Mass Effect stuff. So,
oh, that's awesome.
I'm open to ideas. So Mass Effect makes the whole world better.
That's so great. Congratulations. That's so awesome. And we're all going to be invited. Is that what you're saying? We all get to go to the wedding. That's so nice of you to invite us all.
I don't see why not.
I'm just kidding. You don't have to invite us all. But
yeah, come on the East Coast though. So
I'm on the East Coast. That's awesome. Congratulations. What a fun way to talk about Mass Effect and affecting lives. That's so cool. That's awesome. That's so cool. Well, maybe she can join us sometime and tell her story about her experiences with the game.
I'll let her know.
That would be so cool.
I'm going to issue the same ultimatum to my girlfriend.
Well, honey, I need to know how serious you are about this relationship.
Right?
This means a lot to me.
Well, I need to first have you play this game that I'm very interested in to find out how much you love me, dear.
She's currently stuck on the Citadel and hasn't left yet because it's like in Mass Effect 1, it's like hard to find out where your ship is and how to leave.
Yeah, it takes
and I like brought it up to her. I was like, "So when are you going to start playing again?" She's like, "I don't know." Yeah,
that part's pretty slow. That's where it bogs down in the first
game. I told her, I was like, "I promise you that is the slowest part of the game."
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Syke, I think you're the last one.
Yeah, I have to follow up. We're getting married because we're playing Mass Effect story. That's thanks, Pikeman.
No pressure. All right. No pressure.
So, I mean, my story is, you know, it's a tale as old as time, really. Boy meets BioWare with Knights of the Old Republic.
Beauty and the Beast?
Boy loves BioWare and continues to buy BioWare games all the way up through to when Mass Effect comes out in 2007. And so I had already been, introduced to the, the morality system. That was pretty much like, there's the third game from them that had that. So I was like, okay, I know what to do here. Just pick all my top options.
Blue all the way.
Blue all the way. Exactly. Yeah. Light side, stuff. Anyway. And then from that, it was a nice game. I enjoyed it. It had a nice bunch of lore stuff. I devoured games like, people read novels. So done with it. And then second one comes out a couple of years later. That's when I started like, okay, my choices now have an effect on stuff. So now let me see what happens. Because up until then you just have one and like, okay, yeah, I can see a different ending, but you at the time, in 2008, you don't know that the stuff that you're choosing to do has an effect later. You're just getting to an end of the game. So that's when it really kicks into like, okay, I now have trajectory. Then, so you do that a couple times. Anyway, we go through three, and then my first fiance leaves me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I spend like a week doing three things: drinking Dr. Pepper, sleeping on my couch, and playing Mass Effect.
I'm glad it was Dr. Pepper, because that could have
I'm also glad it was your couch. That could have been way worse.
Oh yeah.
Drinking bourbon, sleeping on the curb.
Sleeping. Yeah.
Yeah, that could have gotten a lot darker, dude.
Okay. I mean, as stories go, this is just humor. And so I played playthrough after playthrough after playthrough, just like almost nonstop through a whole week. And that kind of helped me. It helped me through a very dark time, basically, for what it was.
Sometimes the escapism of a game like this, where you get to just focus on problems that aren't your own.
Exactly.
I totally get that. Like, I have, like, since Mass Effect came out, I have had a few breakups, and it is my breakup game. Like, I will dive headfirst into Mass Effect. I'm like, please distract me from the pain that is life. Mm-hmm. And
it's a lot healthier than diving into the bottle of bourbon. Like,
yes,
it really is.
It's cheaper. It's less damage cheaper on my liver. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Also not mutually exclusive.
Yes. Yes.
So, and then I did, the standard Mass Effect thing. Oh, I'll pick it up every summer between semesters and play a bit. And that's what I did for a few years. And then I actually hadn't touched it, the series, until Andromeda. And I did that one time. And then I said, okay, we're setting the whole series aside for a while. So I hadn't played a Mass Effect game since the end of Andromeda. And I picked it up day one. So this was a game that crashed my system, that walked me through walls, that faces went like all the time. Like, it was just like, I spent $70 for that. Mm-hmm. It was not a good experience. Whatever. So, Legendary Edition, it comes out and it completely changes my life effectively. Because Legendary Edition comes out, this podcast gets started. My coworker was like, hey, you like Mass Effect? You like this podcast, I think. And he introduces me to this.
Thank you, coworker.
So, Ryan, if you happen to listen to this later,
thank you.
Because it introduces me to this wonderful group of people, and inspires me to start my own thing to do. And I meet, I've met all you wonderful people to just hang out with on a weekly basis, sometimes even daily basis, some of you. And that's that's kind of stuff that doesn't, that comes around once, you know, once or twice in a lifetime. So thank you.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, Ryan, your butt in here. What are you doing? You should come hang out with us. Even, I don't mean Ryan. The Patreon. I mean, like, just come hang out with us on Discord and stuff, dude.
Or maybe Ryan has been hanging out with us on Discord all along.
Secret. He's secretly somebody.
I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, Mass Effect has certainly made the pandemic's lockdowns a little bit easier, I think, for a lot of people. And meeting and hanging out with you all has definitely kept my batteries charged during hopefully what is the tail end of this pandemic.
Yeah, that's a cool story, man. That's really cool. Well, guys, I think we're at the end of the show. It's been an hour and a half, and these have been some really awesome stories. So thank you for sharing all of this. It's very cool stuff. And Seven, you got anything else you want to share?
Well, you know, I think people already know my origin story with the game. If you don't know it, if you're curious about it, I think it's like one of the very first things we talk about in the first episode. Mm-hmm. So I won't take up too much more of people's time. I won't flood their ear holes anymore tonight. That's pretty much it. You know, I just finished my Mass Effect 3 playthrough on Xbox. I'm so happy to be done on Xbox. I don't want to stream on Xbox anymore.
Yeah, PC.
So
PC time.
I am going to be streaming Mass Effect Andromeda now on PC, and this is going to be my first playthrough since 2017. So lots is going to seem very new to me, and happy to be doing this on PC. And
I'm gonna look up,
to see you all there.
I'm looking it up right now to see if there's a mod that makes them not look like 12-year-olds.
Good luck.
because their body proportions. This is the thing that drives me the most nuts about that game, is that they all, like, their body proportions make them all look like they're little, like they're children. Don't they?
Yeah.
I'm not alone.
They look
in this.
Like weird middle schoolers.
Look at their body proportions, guys. They look like middle schoolers. I don't know how this happened.
They look a little odd. But
I mean, look at Commander
Shepard.
I'm not
going to mod the game immediately.
I mean, oh my. Okay, here. Look. Let me show you a picture.
If there was a mod that I could have the model for Shepard as my rider,
yes.
I would do that.
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, here. I'm going to post it. I'm going to put this up on the screen. And you guys tell me what you think. This is going to be the last thing we do, and then I'll let you go. I know it's getting late. All right, here we go. I'm posting it up right now. Downloaded a picture. This is a picture. Here it is. Now look at the humans. Tell me their proportions are not the same as middle schoolers.
Why is Sarah Ryder's face the most consistently creepy thing that I've ever seen? She haunts my dreams. What is it with her eyes? They are always, they always look like she's just crushed 4 Xanax and just railed some lines. Like, this person's not okay. They need help.
I'm gonna keep zooming in. This is, yep. Yep.
Hold on, Sam. What's wrong with Xanax and cocaine?
I don't know, man. But look, I mean, they look like they're all like 5 feet tall. I don't know. They're just not proportioned. I don't.
You know what it is? They also look like they are the stars of like a young adult novel,
or like a Disney show.
You know what I mean? Like the stars of a typical young adult novel, like sci-fi Twilight.
They're all between the ages of 19 and 26. So yeah,
they should look like
adults. Babies.
I don't know. But
well,
like,
yeah, but like Shepard is 29 in Mass Effect 1.
Here, I'm trying to find a comparative image of like the Mass Effect 3 crew. Okay, here's a good one. Let me see if I can get this up on the screen. Like the Mass Effect 3 crew, like everybody like is proportionately taller. Like, I can't find a good picture. We'll have to look this up later.
A lot of it could be due to the fact that this was the first divergence from the engine that mm-hmm. they used.
Yeah, it's
used.
A different like engine. It's also a very different design team. Like, the staff changed a lot.
Oh, yeah, it was like a completely different studio, almost.
Yeah, it's very different. Okay, so here's really what happened. Like, we'll actually digging into it, like, honest to goodness, this is really what the difference is that the character designs in the original Mass Effect trilogy are actually superhuman. They're designed with their heads slightly smaller than actual human averages, which makes them look more heroic. Yeah, it makes them look bigger and taller with smaller heads and larger bodies, which makes them look like superheroes. The characters in Andromeda are designed like real people, which makes them look mundane, but to our trained eyes, most video game characters are designed like superhumans. So when you see characters in a video game designed like real people, they don't look like real people because we expect to be seeing superhumans. So they look to us like little kids in a video game rather than real people, because we expect real people to look like super people. So that's the problem, is that they actually designed them like real people. So really, I shouldn't be complaining. I should be lauding them for actually designing real people in a game and making them look like real people. But oh well.
I don't know. They also had to do it right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Also, I think that the other thing I would complain about is that the textures of their faces look too smooth. So they look younger than they actually do. So for like, you know, somebody who's actually 26 years old should look a little bit older in their skin textures, but they're smoother right. than they are. So they kind of do, from the texture standpoint, look
and
like
also,
they're 12 years old.
Not look at everyone either like this or like this.
Yeah, right.
It's always one of the two in Andromeda. It's always, you know, very surprised look or I am fucked up look.
Yeah, yeah, the eyes are weird. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That like,
is, I'm just going to do the rest of the show like this for you, Sam. Beat.
Yeah.
So, it's 50 Cent Beer Night at Applebee's and Sarah Ryder has just gone to town.
So I'm going to send us every all off on the show. So thanks everybody for joining the Mass Effect Lorecast.
like yeah, that. Sure. The Andromeda people are totally fine and not on drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't really blink right either. There's something weird
about it.
No,
it's like, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if their blinking was like asynchronous.
Yeah, there's something weird about the eyes. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining us. I know there's a bunch of you guys. Does anybody have anything cool they want to shout out? Anything cool you guys are doing? I know we've got the girls, Two Girls, One Ship. So Jen, Bravada, Two Girls, One Ship. Check it out. It's a Robots Radio Rocket Club show. Go listen. They talk about Mass Effect relationships and other video game relationships. So we got that going on. Anyone else have anything cool they want to shout out? Anything else going on? Psych?
Mass Effect Blue Shift, tabletop RPG podcast. New episode out January 15th.
Sweet. Yeah, go look that up. That's available, everywhere? Apple, Spotify?
Stitcher and Spotify right now.
Stitcher and Spotify. There you go. Larry, you had something?
Okay, because the two girls went on a Buffy tangent, I have a Buffy t-shirt
awesome!
On.
Awesome! I love Buffy. That's great. Very cool. Oh, is that Spike? Jen has a Spike doll? Looks like a puppet or something? Oh, no. Is this Angel? Angel. Then Angel went too. Awesome. Very cool. Anybody else have anything else that they want to shout out?
Well, hey there, friends.
What was that?
Hank Hill, Assistant Manager, Strickland Propane. I'd just like to encourage y'all to head on down excuse me a minute. Damn it, Bobby, pipe down, would you? I'm on the internet. Sorry about that. Anyways, head on down to the Presidium branch of Strickland Propane for the Boxing Day Grill Stravaganza sale and get your 54,000 BTU Vodner Charking Imperial. Limit of 74 per customer. Strickland Propane. Taste the meat, not the heat.
Thanks, Hank Hill.
Yep.
All right. Anybody else? Pipe Man?
I don't know how to follow that up, but just for you guys, I'm actually so very briefly, like I just got back from a gig. I'm a musician and it's holiday season, so good Lord. I'm going to be uploading a whole bunch of just fun holiday music to the Discord for you guys to enjoy. So stay tuned. There's going to be some just fun stuff posted there.
Awesome. Awesome.
Hey, another reason that if you're listening and you haven't joined the Discord yet, you need to.
There you go. There you go. All right. And then everybody can be reached on the Robots Radio Discord. You can reach everybody there. And anything else? Everybody else is good?
Maybe I'll upload some very not fun music after Pipe Man does all the fun stuff, like fun holiday music. Here's a joke that only Pipe Man will get. I'll be recording Tenazanakis, all the Harry Parch music that I possibly can, if I can find some Parch instruments. Pipe Man, if you have any leads as to where I can get six in, or really any Parch instruments,
please let me know. Could cover Vigil's theme on a harpsichord, that'd be amazing.
Can't do it on harpsichord, but if you want tuned boobams, I'm your guy.
How about a mouth harp?
What's that one instrument where you have to wave your hands in order for it to play?
Oh, the
theremin.
Theremin, yeah. Yeah, it makes like a woo-wee-woo-wah-woo kind of sound. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I could do it on anklung.
What is that?
It doesn't matter.
A didgeridoo? Didgeridoo?
So after the last show, Pipe Man and I realized that he's out of the room right now. He can't hear it. Wait, I'm going to give him a second. Said, Pipe Man, I want you to know I just said anklung to everybody on the internet.
I wish I had one, but there's a harpsichord in that room. I will go record the
Vigil. Jesus.
Oh, sweet.
So Pipe Man and I realized after the last show that we're both classical percussionists, which is like, we're in such a small world that the fact that both of us are here and also share that bond we can't really describe to any of you lay people how weird it is that the two of us are on this call right now.
I will apologize in advance though, because
wow.
I can play really guitar. Obscure jokes about classical percussion things.
Yeah, this is like all gonna go way over our heads. Yeah, I can play.
Yeah,
I can
just
play
cut
guitar.
This all. Cut all of this. Nobody's gonna care.
That's awesome. Well, cool stuff, guys. Thank you all for joining. Anna, did you have something?
No, sorry. Music just started playing and it was really loud in my ears.
Okay, I saw you react. Sorry. I thought maybe you were raising your hand. No. You were like, music. Okay, I gotcha. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us. This has been super fun, as always. And I will see you guys on the Discord. If I don't see you before our next episode, then have a wonderful holiday. We will be taking next week off because it will be on the day after Christmas. But we will see you again in the new year. And thank you again for all the support. Thank you for being here for this show. And we'll see you around soon. All right, everybody. Stay safe out there in the universe and enjoy your Mass Effect. Hopefully you'll get some time to play a little bit over the holidays. See you around.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.